John Barrows has run for Boston mayor twice. The first time in 2013, he received an endorsement from the Boston Globe before the preliminary election in a wide-open race. He did not advance to the general. After serving as the city's chief of economic development under the candidate who did win, Marty Walsh, he entered the fray again this year, and that bid ended last Tuesday. Now a woman will be the next mayor of Boston, and a woman of color. But we will not have a black mayor, despite three black candidates before the preliminary. There is so much to unpack in this race and so much at stake for the city. And John joins us now to reflect on all of it. John Barrows, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Janice, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
It's great to have you back. John, I got to tell you, this is one of those days where I wish we could be face to face, maybe with a cup of coffee or something a little stronger. And, you know, while we talk this through, and I just want to start by saying, okay, it's a week out. How you doing? How you feeling?
Well, I rediscovered this thing called sleep. It's amazing. You actually close your eyes and not just spend the whole time thinking about things and solving problems. You could actually get some rest. But I'm feeling good. Feeling good right now.
Did you sleep those first couple nights after the preliminary?
No, I didn't. You know, the whole time you're thinking about what happened, what we could have done, how we did, who you should call, who you have to thank, you know, how grateful you are. For the experience, for the people who supported you, and for the conversations we had.
So, of course, you just listed all the questions that I want to ask you. What happened? What did you could you have done differently? Who should you call? Let's start at what do you feel good about, and what do you wish you'd done differently in this candidacy?
Yeah, you know, so I feel great about the ideas that came out. My education plan was something that I worked on with a lot of different educators, school leaders, talking to people back and forth, what they were experiencing, what they saw, what we should be able to do. And at the end of this, I came out big with a huge investment goal because we need to do it. We can do it. Buildings matter. Facilities matter. But it also does only because you design them to support the programming and the curriculum. I was really excited about that. Also excited, you know, very early on, heard from men of color, from black men particularly, about wanting to be part of this conversation, want to be part of the history, want to be part of the excitement. And so got a lot of positive feedback from the black men roundtables we put on. Something that I want to continue to do, just got to try to figure out how to do it. But feel good about the race, the ideas we put out, and the tables we set up.
Do you think there's a particular issue or a proposal where you made a particular mark, like the direction that the city will go, the policies that the remaining candidates will pick up, were bent in a direction you wanted to send it?
Yeah, I do. I feel like we contributed and those ideas will last. The priority areas we pushed had an impact. And I know because I sat with both of the finalists, and in those conversations, they reflected that we had an impact on them. And that we would have an impact on how they set up their administration and some of the things they do.
So let's talk about the tough conversation that's happening in the city around the fact that there's not a black candidate in the final, John, and the tension between those who believe that you, Acting Mayor Janey, Councilor Andrea Campbell, split a vote, and those who say, we never say there are too many white people in a race. Why are we talking about splitting a black vote here? Is it some of both? Is it one? Is it the other? Did you have a role to play in that? This is a moment of real reflection.
No, I've always been one to believe that good candidates in the democratic process helps to strengthen our process, helps to strengthen government, helps to strengthen the ideas, the policies that are discussed. And then let's face it, Tiziana, I had, you know, all my voters weren't black. All of Kim's voters weren't black. All of Andrea's voters weren't black. The communities don't vote in that kind of monolithic way. It's not that we came in and we said, hey, how many black votes can we get to win? Because in fact, any single candidate getting all the black votes couldn't do it, right? So let's start there. This has to be a race where the candidate that comes in appeals to multiple communities, multiple racial backgrounds, ethnicities, religious orientations. You have to be a candidate that's going to be the mayor for the city of Boston, not one community. And so I think having strong candidates is a plus for our city, not a minus.
I was really struck last Friday. You may know that we do this thing called Week in Review on Friday, where we look back at the week. Last week on Friday, we had Marie Frances Rivera of Mass Budget and Policy Center and Jim Sturgis of the Pioneer Institute. When I asked them sort of what's the headline from the preliminary last Tuesday, they both went straight to voter turnout. And that, I thought that was interesting. And I hear you say, like you're not surprised. What is the voter turnout story from last Tuesday? And what's the lesson to learn from that, John?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. That is a fact. I think the number one thing, the voter turnout was so low. It was slower than I had feared. I was paying attention to other municipal races across the country. And in fact, voter turnout had been low in different cities. And I was hoping we can create enough excitement here in Boston and it being a historic field change on the horizon and people can get excited. But it didn't happen that way.
Why, John? If people can't get excited about the first time there's not a white male even on the ticket, let alone going to be mayor of Boston, and you've got this incredibly, the five of you are non-corrupt, dedicated, smart policymakers with proven track records who care about the city. If the city can't get excited about that, what's it going to take?
Well, you know what I heard too often was, oh, great candidates. You know, almost like, any one of you can be mayor, kind of like what you just said, right?
Fair enough.
I felt like we needed like someone who people were scared to elect, right? I feel like we needed a reason for people to come out. Too many conversations were about the fact that this was a historic field of strong candidates, and I think who knows? Maybe that was too comforting for some people, and they decided to sit it up.
They thought we'd be okay no matter what.
Yeah.
So I wasn't planning on asking you this, but it's in my head. I'm going to ask you this. I was thinking a lot during this race. So, I taught at the Boston College School of Social Work. And, John, we taught about you in one of the documentaries in our class from your youth organizing at DSNI. There you are on the screen as a 16-year-old. We're teaching young social workers about you. You led DSNI. The country knows about the work there. You have this deep experience as the chief of economic development for the city. You are a strong black man twice in the race. Why do you think you couldn't get the traction that all of that could bring to the table in the mayoral seat?
Well, first, let me just say, proud of the work that you and I did together in the neighborhoods, too. I mean, you left that part out.
Thank you.
You led some important work there. I think, in all my conversations, not once did someone say, hey, John, I just don't think you have the experience to be a good mayor, or I just don't think you can make it happen. I mean, in fact, in 2013, when I ran, people said, hey, those are some cool things you've done. You think you can be mayor? Do you think you can run a $4 billion, at that point, $2.7 billion operation? This time, there was none of that, right? People thought I had the experience. But what I couldn't, I think, break out of was the history people were excited to set was in fact a woman, particularly a woman of color, being mayor. And I could never break out of that. And people were just excited about that. And you've got to be excited about that. There's a lot to be excited about. I continue to have good conversations. I continue to pass the muster for somebody who people would elect. But ultimately, Boston wanted a mayor of color. It was really clear, and it's that time. And I'm excited that we're going to have that kind of history setting moment.
So let's hold that up against something you referred to a few minutes ago, which is the Black and Brown Men's Roundtables, where you brought men of color together to talk about issues most relevant to them right now. It is also an exciting time for Black male leadership in the city. Whether you're thinking of Reverend Willie Bodrick, or you're thinking about Imari Paris Jeffries or Shigan Idowu, you've got Tito Jackson, you've got you. Talk about where Black male leadership in this city can go next and the role you want to play in that.
I think it's one of the things that was part of the Black Men Roundtable conversation was the fact that women of color have done such an amazing job of organizing, of being part of the political conversation. What do you think about Stacey Abrams in Georgia and what's happening there? You think about our vice president. When you think about, you know, locally here with Congresswoman Presley, there's just such great movement. But it's happened not just because we have amazing women who are running. It's happened also because there's been some organizing behind the scenes, whether it's the Barbara Lee Foundation or Emerge here locally and some of the other efforts to make sure that women, particularly women of color, get in the race and are part of the conversation and are organizing. And that's come to a crescendo. It's come to a real sort of point where people are so excited about it. Everybody's excited about it, right? And it's really become a movement in our country, which is beautiful and it's great. And so we said, you know, some of us came around the table and said, hey, look, let's be inspired by that. Let us begin to work with each other in that way where there is more organizing and more conversations about what Black men and men of color in general will bring to the conversation. What's our role? What do we do? How are we leaning into the moment and playing a leadership role and helping to create positive change in our city as a collective, not just as an individual, not just John by himself, not just, you know, Shagun by himself or Amari Paris Jeffries by himself, but as a collective, can we do some things that helps to shape the narrative in a different way, and it's helped to shape our place in a different way. And I think that's something that I'm excited about continuing with these, with Boston, with all of Boston, to figure out how we can have more of an impact.
Okay, so be a sage for a minute now. Not that you aren't always, but in this particular moment, what advice would you give to whomever is the next mayor, and what do they have to get done in those first 100 days or so?
You know, I think there are some tough conversations, not just in Boston, but in our country today. And the next mayor will need to, at the end of the day, be a coalition builder. We'll need to bring people together to have the tough conversations, to make the kind of changes that you want to see happen. You know, in my work, whether it's in the community change-making work or in government reform work, you don't want to jam change down everybody's throat and create the kind of opposition that will then change it back as soon as they have power, right? I'm hoping that the next mayor is going to bring all stakeholders to the table and create lasting change in a way that it stays, right? It's sustainable and takes everybody's perspective into account and works for all of Boston. It's a moment here. It's a moment for change. Boston has an appetite for change, but let's make it work by creating a big tent and make that change something that's sustainable.
I'm going to ask you one question about Mass and Cass. We've talked about a lot of issues with you the last few times you've been on the show, but we just spoke with Catherine D'Amato from the Greater Boston Food Bank, who was really talking as essentially a local business owner and what the challenges are there. And that made me think of you as the former chief of economic development. With that hat on, what does that area need right now?
Oh yeah, I mean it's whether it's Catherine Drennan from the food bank or her neighbor right there, which is Food Pack, for-profit business that's helping small and to medium-sized restaurants throughout Boston by providing supplies, who has lost millions in business because they're at the epicenter of you know what's happening on Mass and Cass today. We need to bring a sense of real urgency to this. I know I've said it during the campaign, and that means working with the folks down there, everyone, right? It's both the people who are in our cities looking for services and need health services so they can kick their habits and get their lives back on track, but it's also the businesses who are down there. It's the people who are trying to get to work. I can't tell you how many times I heard a story about workers who were trying to get to work or people trying to get to the food bank who, you know, got assaulted or chased or verbally, you know, abused. And people have lost, you know, faith a little bit. So people have not come back. And if you act, I don't know if Catherine talked about this at all, but she's lost some of her team members. And some of the for-profit businesses there have lost employees. And that's a sad thing. We need to bring a sense of urgency and begin to decentralize the services there immediately in order to make sure that that kind of you know, human need isn't spilling out in the street and having that kind of effect in that neighborhood.
Okay, last question on the race. I got to ask you, are you going to endorse someone?
Those conversations are being had. I'm sitting with the candidates and having conversations. We'll see what happens. Are you going to endorse Tiziana?
Absolutely not.
No? I was hoping you'd endorse me. You never did. You know, hopefully one day we could talk about who you voted for.
Maybe not on air. Actually, I live in Newton. So, all right. That is former Boston mayoral candidate and chief of economic development, John Barrows. And John, I'm hoping you will come back on when you know what's next for you and tell us about it.
I appreciate it. Looking forward to doing that.